Great. You know, it's a familiar context for me. A lot of people I know, a lot of supportive people. I think that's one of the nice things here. I got to say, I should say at the outset, I'm really grateful for the chancellor's trust in me. And I'll tell you, two things made this possible for me: all the great work that Ed Fazer did in laying the groundwork, and a very solid library knowing that I could leave that behind in good hands.
Yeah, so what kind of a timeline are we looking at? As I understand it, you've said that you're not a candidate for the permanent position of provost. So what kind of a timeline is the university looking at for filling the position permanently?
Robert and I talked about 8 to 12 months, but I think we're all realistic enough to know that it'll take as long as it takes. I think we'd like to see somebody in place as soon as possible for continuity, for building the permanent team, but I'm happy to do what I need to do. You know, the Council of Deans here has really, I think, established itself as a team, and I think we're really eager to see a new team leader come in.
You mentioned your role here has been Dean of Libraries at the University of Illinois Urbana campus. How do you think that role might have prepared you for stepping into this one?
You know, I think we all play these kinds of leadership roles, balancing a number of issues, budget, strategy, vision, in trying to take our part of the organization where it needs to go. And I think that builds the kind of experience we need. It contributes to it. Probably another piece for me was chairing the budget reform process, having, I think, a broad sense of what's necessary to make the university effective, to give our leaders the tools to be able to be strategic in where they want to go and to have the right kinds of data inputs.
You mentioned being the chair of that budget steering committee. Can you kind of update us where that process is right now and maybe some of the goals? Where do you want to be on the other side of that?
Our plan was to have in place by the end of this fiscal year a new model and a sense of the tools that we'll need for the following fiscal year. Does that make sense? So we wanted to have all the questions answered this year so that we can begin to implement it over the next fiscal year. There are a lot of moving parts in a $2 billion enterprise, and we're going to need to make sure that we have everything right as we go forward. But we are on track to do that now. We had hoped to have in the March-April time frame a sense of what the model and the data and the tools would be, and we're there. I think we're getting very close to having that. So it's helpful in part because I think over the years the accretion of processes has made things a bit opaque. So it's hard for a dean, for example, to be strategic about changes when it's difficult to know what happens when you pull that lever. So we're going to make things clearer and I think also create a lot more capacity at the center to be strategic and give the deans the opportunity, the tools to be able to drive their schools and colleges where they need to be.
Certainly the backdrop to all of this is the budget impasse in Springfield. The so-called stopgap funding ran out at the end of 2016. I guess your thoughts on where, you know, the university and where this campus stand financially right now and maybe some implications if this budget impasse continues on here for the next several months.
So I'd rather not speculate about the budget impasse going on for the next several months. I think we should be hopeful. But I think one thing that is important to stress is that we have been extraordinarily good in our management of money that's brought us up to this point and I think shaping where we go forward. So in addition to the budget reform process, we have the shortfall to manage, and we have been doing that. I would want to make sure that people understand that there are two very different processes. We'll have to manage what happened as a consequence of the stalemate in the state for some time to come. But I think the budget reform process will give us better tools for doing that going forward. But I can say, as we've gone around to other institutions to understand how they do their budget work, I'm very impressed with what we've done through this very, very hard period. And I think they all say it would have been very difficult and impossible in many cases to do what we've been able to do.
Another aspect of the state issues are MAP grants. And as I understand it, no funding for MAP grants has been provided for the current academic year. To this point, the University of Illinois has been able to essentially fill in that gap for the students that were supposed to receive those MAP grants. Do you see that as something that the university is able to do moving forward, depending on how long this goes?
I don't know yet whether we'll be able to do that, but it's been an important part of our strategy because supporting our students is what it's all about. So that's one thing we attend to first. We'll always try to, but we'll have to see how that goes as we see what happens in the budget picture.
Chancellor Jones put out a statement this week, kind of in response to some different issues that have been happening here on campus. There's been some Native American imagery on some unofficial St. Patrick's Day shirts, some chalked messages on the quad that appear to be anti-immigrant in nature, the facing of an Israeli flag at a recent protest. You co-signed that statement that the chancellor put out as well. How do you try and balance free speech issues with hate speech and speech that could possibly be injurious to someone?
Well, I think you hit on it there. It's the balance piece there. So we have to respect free speech here, but it's very important for us to make strong statements about our identity and our values in the face of those things.